You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
This podcast is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, honey, I'm going by the store. Do you need anything?
Almond butter, stuff for salad, maybe some of those chips you like?
No, I mean, I'm going by Voyage AC.
Oh, Voyage AC. Well, then let's see. Bedtime spray, vitamin C cream, a couple of those candles you got me from last time, the ones that smelled so good.
Oh, the Eau de Tabac. Yes. We definitely need more of those in our house. Voyage AC is your destination for all these amazing fragrances and gifts. You'll want to go online right now and check out their amazing gifts like beautiful votive candles, incredible fragrances, gorgeous face and body products. And if you're in Los Angeles or visiting here, check out their store in Studio City. So, hun, how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
Yep, you can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VoyageTcie.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything you buy.
All you need to do is enter the code the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the code the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Hi, as Scott said, this is On My Nightstand, and I am Laura Cathcart-Ravins. And today we are bringing you something that is very special to me. It's by a dear friend of mine named Dana Mish. Dana is a Jewish mother and writer living in Charlottesville, Virginia. Her memoir, In Progress, commemorates her life with her father, who she lost to suicide, and her grandfather, who survived the Holocaust. Her writing has appeared in The Washington Post, The Times of Israel, Brevities, Nonfiction Blog, The Manifestation, Folio Literary Journal, Psych Central, and DIYMFA. And you can follow her at Dana Mish Writes on Twitter and Instagram. So Dana wrote this piece in 2018 after an experience she had, and she and I actually had a conversation. This is one of the reasons I picked this piece. I was like, that is a fantastic story. You should write about this time in our history and your perspective on it. And I don't know if it was just because I told her to, but she did. And I'm so glad she did because Tin House published it. And I get to share it with you today. It is called The Erosion of Stone. And it was published on August 14th of 2018. I dress my infant daughter, belt her into her stroller, and walk down a mile stretch of tree-lined streets to our library in Charlottesville. I ride the elevator down one floor to arrive at section 92, peruse the names, the faces, the back covers. I often leave with a stack 5 or 6 books high, with works like Lydia Yugnatovich's Chronology of Water, Therese Mayo's Heartberries, Roxane Gay's Hunger. From the depth of a red brick building named for 2 of our country's founding fathers, a building bolstered by marble columns and topped with a pointed pediment, I retrieve the best of today's memoirs, written by women. 6 months ago, I made it my job to raise a tiny human, to prepare her for a life that, in just a few short years, will be lived largely outside the walls of our home. I will watch as she shapes the world and allows herself to be guided by it, like water carving a canyon. And yet, these are our days right now. Rooms, windows, soft carpeted floors, the inward swinging side of my front door. So I crack open the covers of these books while she naps. I immerse myself in true stories authored by powerful female voices who push out against rock and find their pliancy makes them stronger. Bagged or unbagged, I avoid the statue of Robert E. Lee. The small block-by-block park in which it stands runs along the library's west side, and I'm grateful that it's out of the way, even if just barely. Beneath the canopy of her stroller, my baby stirs from an urge that is both thirst and hunger, a primal wanting for which we do not have a word because desires diverge before we can speak. I won't waste my steps. Out of the library's south-facing door, I turn left and left again. I pass my synagogue, an unsuspecting temple with 5 turrets and arched doorways, vines climbing up to a glass-windowed hall, and I'm reminded of an old proverb. What's truer than truth? The story. I'm drawn to the adage, perhaps because at first it evokes a firm, unyielding no. Story is myth, a fanciful stringing together of events to present a moral, to make sense to our ethnocentric human selves. But then I hear my own rebuttal, quiet but resolute. It says yes. It says without story, what would our lives be, other than an infinite set of entirely trivial data points? This moment, for instance, the specific cerulean hue of the sky, the sound of my breath, the squeak of stroller wheels, the winding ant trail, the car horn, the traffic cone, the crosswalk, the corner, the curb. Story is the sieve we use to sift through the noise and find meaning. It is the lens through which we look at the world and ourselves and arrive at a common denominator. It is subjective and mercurial and flawed, which is exactly what makes it the purest, unadulterated piece of truth, if not, as the saying insists, truer than that. Each day I live, I become more convinced that objectivity, like many of the virtues we glorify, is a mere construct, a fallacy, stripping ourselves of our humanity to reach some form of certainty. What does that achieve? We can go about our lives erecting stones, but they will only ever be non-living. That's why I have these books in the basket of my daughter's stroller. The urge to read them arises from the same deep-seated need that brought me into being. Give me skin, give me eyes, give me lungs. I want to experience another person's unique reality. I want a viewpoint so different from my own that when their words resonate, I feel, with profound awe, that I've stumbled upon something universal. I want a meeting of minds and bodies and spirits that can only be achieved through turning the pages on which these brave women have written down their lives. I want their self-evident truths, their declaration of personhood. I turn onto Park Street and am reminded of last August, the flag-wielding hate that gathered and the Nazi chants that reverberated across my town, my neighborhood. I'm reminded of being 16 weeks pregnant, of laying on the couch by the front-facing window of my home and watching my daughter, not even the size of my palm, kick her foot in rhythmic pulses down my hip. It would be 3 more weeks until I learned her sex, but I promised her we will outlive this. We, as in she and I, and the lives she might one day bring into the world. We may carry the surnames of our fathers and husbands, but the matrilineal bond is a deep and endless river, a force uniting daughters of daughters from womb to womb since the beginning of humankind. I look down at her now as she dozes, her eyelids softly closed, her dimpled chin tucked into her shoulder. Adira Malka, I lean in and hum, touching her toes. Strong queen. It's the voices of women that I hear, ancestral, present day, future, as I sing my daughter's Hebrew name. Voices of women who have gifted language and legend to each generation, sowing seeds of hope within us when there was more often reason to despair. And it's the voices of women that I continue to seek out this and every August as the asphalt beneath my feet swelters. I am tired of hate blighting the world, invading my hometown, crowding my thoughts. It's peace and reason and fairness and justice and love that I embody, that I will become, that I will pass on. We turn onto our street that 4 months ago was strewn with flyers insisting it's okay to be white. They were sealed in Ziploc bags and weighed down with stones to our driveways, our lawns, our sidewalks. I remember forging down our street, holding back tears, my baby girl, then 10 weeks old, swaddled against my chest as I gathered and discarded the remaining pieces of hegemonic angst. I step through my front door, putting thoughts of days past aside. I unbuckle Little Miss Adira Malka and set my books on the coffee table. She wakes up and demands to be nursed. I kiss her head and bring her to our rocking chair. The remote is in reach, but this television stays off. My evening news lies between the covers of these memoirs. These written accounts of women's lives lived today are my barometer of how we are faring in the ongoing battle to weather our adversities. They are my sense of duty and promise in the world. What's truer than truth, I hear myself say? The story. I realize that I don't just believe these words. They are the water in the well that lies within me. And like the bucket that lowers, I find myself returning over and over again to this. Our prophecies self-fulfill. As I nurse my baby, I open the covers of the memoirs that I brought home, reading the first passages in each. My eagerness to take in these women's life stories lies somewhere between hunger and thirst, a desire both familiar and also ineffable. From these pages, there is an outpouring of love and strength and perseverance. I hear a coalescence of resilient voices. Like a river flowing into the future, it promises to pave a new path, eroding stone along the way. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.